Jerry, if you would please introduce yourself and tell the people why you're running and why you feel you're qualified for the job.
Good evening. My name is Nicole Bard. I'm running for Story County Commission, and I'm asking for your vote. I may be asking it from the floor. Why am I running? I get that question a lot, I'm sure Jack does as well. I'm running because I love it here. I've never been as big a part of a community as I have been able to do here in Story County. I believe that I can contribute. I'm retired, and so I've got the time to do a lot of things. Both Ron and I do things together, obviously, but we also do some things apart, and one of my part things is involvement in the county. I've been involved in numerous activities and issues with this county. I attend the commission meetings. I attend the BCTC meetings, which is our tourism board. I am currently working with the horse advocacy groups to help cement cooperative agreement. I am a number of people. I'm also working with some of our lodging merchants in Virginia City to see what we can do to increase the number of room nights so that the longer people stay, the more money they'll spend, so we can generate some revenue for Virginia City. I love it here. I've thrown myself into working with people to try to improve it here. I've been doing it for years. I've got 30 years of experience. So 20 years in a corporate environment, which means that I've had the experience of developing small budgets, large budgets. I had staff that was all over the world. I've managed people. I've led organizations. I've worked with small businesses in the last 10 years. I retired from the corporation. I've been working with small business. I ran a small nonprofit. So I've got the financial background, the planning, the budgets, the people management background, the planning background, the strategic planning background, 30 years worth of business experience. And those things have served me well so far, and these are things I am offering as part of your electing me to this position. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for coming. I'd like to see this kind of support at all the forums. I'm Jack McGuffey. Those who don't know me, I was your former Justice of the Peace. I've been a Story County resident for the better part of 20 years. I'm highly involved with the community. I'm on the Homeowners Board, Architectural Committee Board in the Highlands. I'm the Vice President of the Car Club that we founded last year. I'm a volunteer to the fire department every year. I've been doing that for almost 12 years now, I believe. So I'm very highly involved with the community. And the reason why I'm running is because you asked me to. For the last 2 years, everybody's been pressing me to run for this office. I was always been interested. I ran before. And this was the year where I got a lot of pressure from you. And I'm glad to do it, and I'm glad to serve the citizens of Story County. Okay.
So again, just to remind everybody, the two of you are anticipating it, but it'll be a moderated debate where first person gets 2 minutes, then a minute to respond, and a rebuttal of a minute by the other, and then you will get to ask your speech a question in the middle. So, Nicole, first question, very similar to last week, regards Tesla. And it's what your perception is of the Tesla project's benefit to Story County. And since we are in the River District, I think people would be very interested in specifically how you see it also to this side of the county.
Well, the Lockwood answer is easy. I'm hearing that people are looking at the houses, people are starting to put offers on the houses, so I would hope and expect that a lot of the inventory that we have here in Lockwood starts to move, and that's very healthy. Another thing for Lockwood is for those of you that are looking for work or even looking at an opportunity to change jobs, you're going to have that with Tesla. when they get when it actually is up and running. That's the question: is it going to be in 2 years, or you know, when will that happen? So the, I think that the answer for Lockwood is very positive. I don't know as certainly as I do with Lockwood what it's going to mean for the rest of Story County. There's going to be a trickle effect at some point. I just don't know where that will be. I don't know if people are going to want to live in the Highlands and drive all the way to Tesla. So I don't know how that's going to work from a housing standpoint or a job standpoint. The unanswered questions for me is we don't, and it was mentioned with the assessors, we're not going to see any revenue for 10 years for property taxes and 20 years for sales taxes. And yet, as Jana so bluntly put it, we're going to be having out-of-pocket expenses. And so you're going to hear me talk a lot about money because that's what I look at when I look at an organization or a job. And so my question is going to be around where are we going to be getting the money in the immediate future that is going to cost us to support Tesla and other companies if we're not getting that revenue stream in. And so I haven't seen yet from the county, yes, we have this opportunity, which is really exciting out here, but what's it going to cost us in the short term and the midterm until that boat, that ship comes in 10 years and then in 20 years?
You have 1 minute, Jeff.
Just 1 minute? Oh, okay. Well, then I'll cut it short. my opponent says, what's it going to cost us? Well, it's not going to cost us anything. You know, right now the county receives a $3 million a year allowance from the state to compensate for lost revenue from sales taxes. If we happen to collect more than that, the state gets to keep that profit. But we still get $3 million guaranteed. It's no guaranteed loan kind of thing. With Tesla still has to pay some admin fee kind of things. They don't have to pay the sales and real property taxes. But we still get the $3 million. Tesla is responsible for taking care of the fire and police requirements out there, permits. So we're really, Tesla's taking care of that kind of stuff to get going. We don't have to bend over for anything.
You need 1 minute for a response, Nicole.
I may be mistaken, but I believe that the $3 million we get from the state as part of our guaranteed share, which we've been getting all along, that is something that we get because our revenues are at a particular level. And Hugh is here, you know, correct me, I'm sure. Guaranteed share is there for small counties that need to get shared revenue from the bigger counties that make a lot of money. So I don't know that that is specifically aimed at Tesla. That's specifically aimed at the size of our county. The other thing is once your revenue level as a county gets to a certain level consistently, a couple of years, you fall off revenue share, and you can't go back on. So we have the eventuality with Tesla and all the other businesses that we're getting banking from TRI that we will go off that revenue share, guaranteed share, from the state, and we'll be on our own from that point forward, and we won't have to share that other part over that with the state. But
next question is for you, Jeff. And again, it's looking at the perspective of what do you believe is the greatest challenge facing Story County, and how will you address it?
Of course, there's several challenges, but with Tesla jumping in, it's turned everything upside down. So most of our challenges are going to be dealing with that growth. There's a lot of growth coming our way. You're talking 6,500 jobs to start, but you're looking, they're actually anticipating over 16,000 other jobs that are, you know, going to support that. We need traffic. There is a master plan to widen 80. They don't want cars backing up off of on ramps and off ramps, so they're going to be addressing things like that. That's going to impact this area more than anything. Once they punch USA Parkway through, which is in the agreement, then a lot of truck traffic will disappear. Not all of it, but a lot of it will.
Would you like to take
1 minute to respond, if you don't.
Restate the question just a
bit. It's basically looking at what you believe to be, or what Jack, you believe to be the greatest challenge facing Story County and how to address it as a commissioner.
Okay. I, on my website and back there with my material, I've outlined a couple of issues that I've encountered while working with people and attending the commission meeting. And one of the items, and Jack is right, one of the items is what I'm calling managing complexity. That's work. That's a task. Work is easy. Relationships are difficult. Trust is very touchy. From my perspective, I think that the main issue facing the county is a lack of trust. The trust is broken between our citizens and our government. I mean, the county, the state, the federal government, that's where I think it progresses. That lack of trust, I think, exists for at least two reasons. One, I don't know that our government does a good job of communicating to us. There's lots that's going on that we as citizens have a right to know from a transparency, which means very clearly being transparent is everything within view. I don't think that that's happening. People don't trust how decisions are being made. The second reason is because it is perceived, real or imagined, the same group of people that rotate from to the same set of jobs over and over generationally. People don't feel that unless you're related or know somebody closely that they have a chance to be in any of those jobs.
If you'd like one way to Jack to respond.
As your Justice of the Peace, I was inside to speak up. And is there a family working there in the state or I mean the county? Yes. These are people that grew up here, applied for the jobs. Did they get preference? I can't say yes. There's people there that commute from Reno. It's not locals. So I think there's kind of a broad statement to say that the county is hiding things and keeping you in the dark. I think we have a good staff there. I've worked with them. I think they're pretty honest people myself.
All right, so hold on to the mic, Jack. And this is your opportunity to bring up an issue you'd like Nicole to address.
Well, let's see. There's several. You know, she always claims she worked for a big company. Never mentions what company that is. Doesn't tell you how long she's lived here in Story County. Breaking up here. But what was a bit disturbing, in the Highlands there was a meet and greet where all candidates were invited, and she got on the microphone and proclaimed to be a bee. I don't want to use the word. I'll just call it and say bee. And she's a bee because bees get things done. And it's like, really? Is that the way you're going to go into this, being a bee? Because I don't think anybody wants to work with a bee. Okay? That's all. I want to ask the question, how do you justify that?
Well, Jack, what I actually said in that meet and greet was that what I was hearing, and I was told you actually said this, but what I was hearing is that I was being called, I was me, and I was a bee. And I said, you know, I worked in an engineering company, Intel Corporation, for 20 years. It's a male environment, it's technical. I'm a female, I'm not technical. And in that world, and I think most of the women in this room will resonate with this, if you're called a bee, it's because you're being effective. I did not say that out of pride. I said that because that was something being reportedly said about me. So if, because I ask questions, because I want accountability, because I want answers, I'm being called a bee, then I got to say, spell it with a capital B.
Well, first, I didn't know somebody called you that. Second, is I've never had to be.
Because you used it.
Let's keep that in mind. I never had to use that word or be that way to get what I wanted. Always been diplomatic, worked with facts. Oversaw a few companies before I was a judge, director of operations, so oversaw the budgets of Public Solutions there in Dayton for 15 years. So we were very successful, and I was very successful as being your judge. You know, I've been touting that I saved the county over $100,000 in the judicial budget. Well, you know, I was wrong. I actually saved $178,000. And that was from the mobiles, moving out of the mobiles, getting out of that lease, getting rid of the insurance, getting rid of utilities, copiers. We got the bailiff moved to the sheriff's department. We sold his car, knowing car insurance, and just the list goes on. There's a lot of things you don't see on that budget. So, thank you.
1 minute reply, if you'd like.
As a justice of the peace, you are in a position to be, you have to be impartial and you can't take sides. In the last forum, Jack indicated, and his words were to the effect that the commissioners want me in there. They want me there because I'm a member of the team. They want me there because I can work with them. You've also stated that you think whatever's happening and has happened in the county is going great. So to the extent that it seems as if you are taking that side and are spokesperson for the commissioners because you're telling us that they want you, I would like to know what it is that you personally are going to bring to the party. What plans, what issues do you see, and what plans do you have to serve the citizens? What are you bringing to the party for the citizens? Not the commissioners, because they're not going to elect you. The citizens are going to elect you.
Okay. As your judge, that pretty much proved that I was very honest, non-biased, smart guy, I guess, to make reasonable decisions, and one to you. So I'm going to represent you on that level. I do believe, I have talked to the commissioners, and yeah, they like me. I've known them for some time, and they know me, but they know that I'm smart. They know I make my own decisions. So I think that there's a mutual acknowledgement of each other's skills. Commissioner Gilman has a set of skills that are beyond mine in his arena. I have my own set of skills, same way with Commissioner McBride. I think they're doing a good job personally. Thank you.
1 minute to respond if you'd like.
I didn't hear an answer to my question. It doesn't sound as if there are plans.
As far as plans, well, those plans have come up as needed. There's always the unexpected. There was the unexpected purchase of the bank in town. Was I for that? Yeah, it was a good investment. They got a $125,000 building for $75,000. They can sell it today for $125,000. But right now, I understand that it's being leveraged to bring another bank into town. So it's going to be what's on the agenda. One thing I would like to point out, one of the agendas that's been on, been ongoing for 37 years is a zip code. We're still trying to get a zip code out here. We're trying to get one in the Highlands as well, the Storm County. But we're pulling teeth with the state. So, from what I understand, this has been ongoing for 37 years, and it'll probably go on for another 37.
Jack, next question for you to address would be, there's been discussion recently about the term autonomy within the elected offices in the county. How do you see these relationships, and how would you address the statement of, or the concept of autonomy of elected offices?
I'm sorry.
What's your opinion about the relationship between elected offices relative to the term autonomy of elected officials?
That's a tough one. It's tough on every holder of office in Story County and every county in Nevada and even up in higher echelons. But small counties, it's really tough because you don't want to, by law, by general statute, you're not supposed to override another government entity. At the same time, the executive branch has control of all the funds. And they think you have to spend them their way. I ran across that as your judge. We got a test a few times, but I still came out okay. I saved you a bunch of money. It's a tough call for especially the sheriff and the judge. I mean, those are the two top positions that are in have to butt heads sometimes.
I have a very simple answer. Autonomy means autonomy. There are elected positions and there are appointed positions. All of the elected positions are accountable to the citizens first. These staff positions report to the county manager. In the area of budget, like you're here, in the area of budget, all those revenues come into one place and it needs to be coordinated and there has to be cooperation between all of the departments, the elected and the staff positions. And so for that, that's a coordinated function, but it is not a subordinated function. The elected officials do not report to the county manager or anyone else. All of us, as elected officials, report to you. So I believe that the autonomy rests with the official and how they run their office. I think the cooperation comes in when the entire, and we as citizens expect this, that all the departments get together and figure out how best to allocate the budget.
Jack, you'd like 1 minute to respond?
No, I don't think I need to respond.
That's fine. Next question, this is the last question. We talked about it within the assessor race in terms of the purchase of private property by the county. How do you believe these purchases are in the best interests of Story County residents, all residents in Story County?
And so by private property, you mean the houses for the parking lot?
Well, there have been several purchases over the last year,
bank.
But it would be private properties that the county then makes public.
Okay. Part of what we do as part, we, the county all do as part of the budget process is to identify projects that we need to spend money on, et cetera. But we have an infrastructure list and we have a capital list. Different money can be used for those types of projects and it's dictated by NRS. When the infrastructure and capital list was first presented as part of the packet for the public to view, I asked several questions about the infrastructure list. Both of them. I asked if it was prioritized. Why isn't it prioritized? It was a laundry list of things that would have taken 40 years of revenue to do. I asked, doesn't this have to be time-banded? Doesn't it have to be within 10 years or something like that? They said, no, you don't have to prioritize it. The purchase of the parking lot and the additional lease option to buy further land behind that parking lot, as well as that Bank of America building, appeared on neither the capital plan or the infrastructure plan. We as citizens had no idea that that was going to happen. We had no say, no control, no pre-warning, because it didn't appear on that list. So as far as I'm concerned, that infrastructure list and that capital list, and I brought this up at the time, essentially the blank check and an open-ended blank check because they did things outside of that. They're going to spend $1 million on that parking lot. My question, you're going to hear me talk a lot about money. is that the highest priority for us as a county? Does it help Virginia City? Yes. You know, we need to have places for tourists to park, but we're also looking at alternatives. The group that I'm working with for lodging is also looking at ways to make it easy for people to go from Silverland parking lot or other parking lots back up to C Street and elsewhere. We want to rebuild the stairs, we want an on and off trolley. So I don't know that spending $1 million for a parking lot in this economy right now was the smartest thing to do.
1 minute, Jen.
The money that's set in the infrastructure holder to speak of, or envelope, is that every year the county goes and sets priorities of where they would like to use the money that they have. They don't have money to do everything, so they try to prioritize what would they like to get done. Now, that's not to say it's carved in stone. When something comes up, that might turn into the new priority, and that's apparently what happened. The investment was a good investment. Hopefully we do draw another bank into town. It's making it difficult for a lot of people who live up in Virginia City, and even the county. Now the county has to run up and down the mountain to do their banking. I think they're doing a lot of it electronically now, but it's still, I know the court collects a lot of cash. We're only allowed to keep so much cash on hand, so we have to run it to a bank. Okay. So the parking lot, as you judge, I had to walk several blocks several times because on court date there was no place to park. There's always a parking shortage for the street vibes, 4th of July, all our big functions. People need a place to park. Otherwise, they won't come and stay.
Well, you keep the mic, or you get 1 minute, I'm sorry, you get 1 minute to reply, Michael.
Minor correction, the Bank of America building had been being worked on for months during the time that infrastructure was just being constructed. That's in the minutes of the commissioner's meeting. The fact that, not the fact, but the reason was given that it showed up, it didn't just show up all of a sudden, but it had been worked on for quite a while. And now that they have the terms that they want, they're going to have. So I can understand. We've all been there. We set a family budget, and some emergency comes up, and you do it. That's a true emergency. That bank building had been worked on before. I had asked for the infrastructure list to be prioritized. It is not prioritized. I was told it doesn't have to be prioritized. So if it's prioritized, you need to look at it, and it's segmented by community. And so I don't know if it's prioritized within the community or what, but it's not prioritized as far as when I asked if it was.
So our closing statements will continue in sequence. So Jack, you get 2 minutes to make a closing statement and leave people with what you would like them to remember.
Okay. Well, the closing statement is, thanks again for coming out. And I hope I got your support. I've always been true to you, and I'd like to pay your return. One thing that kind of surprised us, this was supposed to be a non-bias forum, and it turned bias when everybody had found one of these on their seat. This is a person from the Highlands. I won't give her the credit. This is the kind of stuff she writes, and you need to look at it closely. There's a lot of it appears, maybe, I think. And the first thing she had to say about me, of course, was the budget. You know, the county comptroller is here tonight. You can ask him. I got the information from him. I was surprised I saved so much money. So, thank you. For those of you know, I'm a car guy. I'm the vice president of the Comstock Classic Car Club. If there's any of you down here that would like to join us, you're more than welcome. It's $25 a year. We have a meeting once a month. But I'm a car guy, and that's why I have magnetic bumper stickers. So please stop by and grab one. Thank you.
I want to help Story County to become the most effective, the most efficient, and the most community-enriched county in the United States. Period. I think that we've got a hell of an opportunity here to make that happen. We only have 4,000 people in this county. We're very small. We're very tight. We can move very quickly. I am prepared to listen, as I have been going door to door. I am prepared to work, and I am prepared to serve. And in reality, I've been representing citizens' interests in the questions that I've been asking in the commission meetings for quite a while. And so I would ask for your vote so that I can continue to do work for this community from the inside, because I can be way more effective there. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to call in Jack McCutcheon, Nicole Bowers. Thank you for your time. We'll take another 5-minute break. Be back at 5:02.